Through days of hurt and pain, my heart cried out, all is vain. I lost all my will to live. Too many times I tried, too many times I failed, and it only brought tears and shame. Then I saw that old cross where I won through his loss, and I knew one more time there his grace became mine. That's when Calvary came through once again, when I lost all my courage to win. Just when I thought I'd been defeated, the cross was all I needed. That's when Calvary came through once again. From the stable to the grave, my Savior gave and he gave his life as a fine. No prize. Now I cherish that old tree where I found victory, conquering hell and our foes. Praise his name, he arose. That's when Calvary came through once again. Just when I thought I'd been defeated, the cross was all I needed. That's when Calvary came through once again. That's when Calvary came through once again. When I lost all my courage to win, just when I thought I'd been defeated, the cross was all I needed. That's when Calvary came through once again. Calvary came through once again. Calvary came through once again.
All right. I think you have a handout. We haven't finished our series on discipleship yet. We took last week off because we were preparing for Friend Day, and this week we're taking it off because the couples retreat is around the corner. So whenever we do that, we kind of have a Thursday night when we talk about marriage a little bit. So that's what we're going to talk about tonight. Look at Genesis chapter 1 there. We'll read some of the verses together. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26 says, "And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. Now those are only two. Those are only two I see. Okay, someone told me on Google or one of these when they asked for the gender, there's like 38 different options. I'm like, okay. I mean, are they talking about people from other planets? I'm not sure. But the options are male and female. Verse 28. And God blessed them, and God said, be fruitful and multiply. Replenish the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the flesh of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. Let's pray. Father, bless our few minutes tonight. Encourage us in our marriages. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Of course, as we read that, that's the general creation story of man. Without, it doesn't have a lot of the details. It's just your basic telling God, God telling us how we were created. He created male, female, brought them together as man and wife. And after he and brought them together, he instructed them to be fruitful, multiply, and have a family. Now, Genesis chapter 2, we get a little bit of a more detailed description of God's creation of the family. So look at Genesis chapter 2 there, starting in verse 18. And the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make a helpmeet for him. And out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all cattle and to all fowl and to the fowl of the air and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found an helpmeet for him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam. And he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he woman and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and we shall see, and they shall be one flesh. Now, as we notice the natural progression here from God's creation until the time that he made Eve and brought her to Adam, we see three, really, steps here in regard to relationship. First of all, it started with isolation. Isolation. He created Adam first, and then Adam was all by himself. And when God created all the animals, there was twos. They had partners. And as Adam's there, with God notices, of course, God knew this ahead of time. He's really spreading it out for our knowledge. But that the man, it was not good for him to be alone. In other words, he was isolated, and that wasn't good. God wanted to make someone for him. And so that brought him to the second step, which is consolidation. Consolidation. He made a wife for him, not just another person to be there, okay? That wasn't what it was about. The two were to become one, okay? They were to become one in everything. Not just, you know, we think of one aspect of marriage when we think of that, but it's in everything, okay? By the way, and that's true. Whatever happens to the husband affects the wife. Whatever happens to the wife affects the husband. We're one, and we're supposed to be one in everything. Think of how did Adam end up sinning? Because Eve sinned first, and throwing shade at her. She did sin first, and she brought it to her husband, and because he saw that she had sinned, and he did it willingly, whereas she was tricked, and he did also. So they even shared that. Then you see formulation. They're consolidation, they're brought together, they become one, and now formulation. They are to leave and to cleave, and now a new family unit is created. When two people get married, they become one. Now those who are both from separate families now become one new family unit. That's how God created them. Now let's view how the first relationships were created. This is all just introduction. First of all, on your sheet, you notice that God created man. And that formulated a relationship that God wanted. That's a relationship with God. God created us for his glory. God created us for his honor. And God desires very strongly that we have a personal relationship with him. That's the first, other than the eternal, that's the first relationships on earth. God and man. And so that one needs to be the first and most important one. Then comes the second. God created Eve for Adam. That's our relationship to our spouse. That's the second relationship we notice in the Bible on this earth. And by the way, it's the most important human relationship on earth. There's no other human relationship that should be closer. Okay? Not your parents. They're not, it's your spouse. Not your friends. You name it. Just go down, not your children. Okay? Husband and wife. Second most important relationship. And then, through Adam and Eve came children. That's relationship to our, you can put a lot of things in there, family. Okay? Or chaos, whatever you want to call it. That's the third relationship. The children. Very important. By the way, the children's relationship in a large amount is going to be helped by the parents' relationship. If the parents have a bad relationship, it's going to affect the children. Okay? No one's perfect, by the way. But you know what I'm talking about. And if that relationship is blown up, it's nothing but drama, then what's going to happen is it's going to affect the children. Look at Ephesians chapter 5, verse 33. Nevertheless, let every one of you in so particular, one of you in particular, so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. Okay? Really? You're sitting by yourself. That's why you're really bold tonight. I hear you. But these two mention the key element in each partner's role. Each person in the marriage has a role. The man's major role is to love his wife. Okay? You say, well, man, I know. Get past the honeymoon. Love your wife. And then the lady's major role is to respect her husband, reverence for him. Okay? That's important. Now, in the relationship, marriage relationship, what happened is you met, you courted, and everything was wonderful, and you, I don't like the term fell in love, because the word fall means to, you know, you to stumble, to hurt yourself, okay? You know, children fall, they get a boo-boo. Maybe that is how love is, but I'm not sure. Not falling in love. And you had this relationship with each other, and the relationship grew, and it grew to a point where you decided one day you wanted that relationship to be permanent. You didn't like that if you went out together at the end of the night, she went to her place and you went to your place. Now, after a few years of marriage, you're like, hey, that concept really sounds like a good idea. Okay, you need to go to couples retreat if you think that. And so this relationship, which was so good, becomes permanent. It's marriage. But if we're not careful, after marriage, that relationship that we desired so strongly can start to go cold, can start to have issues. There's things that aren't maybe handled like they should be that come into the relationship, and it causes division and strife. So how do we, I'm calling this the core relationship, what do we have to be careful about so that we don't mess up this relationship? Now, there are things that come into a relationship, and there's irritations and so forth, but those should be occasional visitors. They shouldn't be residents in your relationship. So what are some of the things we have to be careful about? Let me give you a few in the few minutes that we have together tonight. Look at number one. Here's one. We know each other too well, so we get used to each other or irritated with each other. Right? It's like, the closer you are with somebody and the more you're with them, the more opportunity there is for irritation. We have a class in the college I'm teaching right now on the family, and we talked, I don't know if it was last week, you know, like vacation, you go on vacation. You know the best parts of vacation? Looking forward to it and when that bad boy ends, okay? How many of you know what I'm talking about? And it's like, I love being with my family. Now, when we go, there's a lot of us. In the first week, we go on the road, and we're stopping in different cities, and we're in the car together, and then we got hotel rooms, and there's a million, and the kids are coming in and out. Now the grandkids are in and out, and some of them don't smell very well and have issues. And in the morning, you know, let's get on the road, and it takes forever. You know, I hate to say this. I hope my family understands what I'm saying. What I usually do, like every morning, I'll get up, and they're getting up, and they're starting to get ready and packing their bags. My bag's packed that night. And I get up in the morning, and I'm like, I'm going to get some coffee. Y'all just take care of everything. I'm telling you, I shouldn't say they're going to. We were in Butte, Montana. So I got up early, and they're all at the hotel, you know, trying to fight the kids. And I just went down. Closest coffee shop was downtown Butte. And I get downtown to Butte, and I found a coffee shop, and they had a farmer's market right in the middle of the street. I mean, it's old. So I just walked around for a half an hour. I had a great time by myself. I told him, that was one of the best parts of the vacation. Now, I enjoy being with the family, okay? But now we go back to the hotel room. It's like, all right, who's been killing each other, you know? Are we ready to go? Let's pack up and get out of here. But we love each other. But when you're in close quarters in a car for that much time, okay? You know, when you first start on the trip, everybody's talking. It's nice. After it's a while, it's like, shut up. And I know you shouldn't say shut up. Refrain from speaking, okay? Be quiet. But now, that can happen in a relationship. What happens in a relationship, you get to know each other. It's not like before. You know, everybody's on their best behavior at their restaurant. We're having a great time. Bye, honey. She goes home. You go home. It's all good. No. You're going home together. Okay? And you're going to be together. So you have to be very careful. If that becomes a big problem, it's because we've allowed it to become a big problem. And we don't want to do that. We know each other's weaknesses. Proverbs 12:18. There is that speaketh like the piercings of the sword, but the tongue of the wise is health. We know each other's weaknesses. And by the way, if we're not careful, we pick at that. Instead of just saying, there's a weakness. Okay? And we make the situation worse. We see their flaws. By the way, Proverbs tells us, hatred covereth up strife, but love covereth all sins. Yep. We just get used to each other. Look at Revelations 3, 4, and 5. And has borne and has patience. Talk about a relationship with the Lord sometimes. And for my name's sake hath labored, as he talks to the church there, and has not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee. But what was his complaint against this church? Because thou hast left thy first love. Right? You know, remember, what is it like the old movie Sakes, you know, the guy, the damsel is walking, there's a puddle of water, and the guy takes his jacket off and throws it down so she can walk across the water. Now he looks at his wife and says, what? That's not that, you could jump. Okay, you can get over that thing. That's not that bad. You used to open the door for her. Now it's like, what, is your arm broke? Okay, what's going on here? We forget these type of things. We forget our first love. You know, you used to help with whatever. Now it's like, come on, sister. You're a big girl. You can handle that. That, by the way, that'll get you to the, that'll get you right straight to the couch. The best, here's the best way. Treat each other the way you treated each other to the best of your ability before you were married. Now, if you were fighting before you got married, you probably need to come see me so we can help you work that out, all right? I had a roommate in college, and he was dating this girl, and it's like, man, they were constantly fighting and breaking up. And one of us, I don't know if it was me or someone else, said, brother, I don't know if this is the right girl. And I'm like, hey, she's not. You're getting her at her best right now, okay? And if you guys can't get along now when you're not even living together, brother, it is going to be Hades when you do get married. So move on quickly. And he did. Now, so what can we do, okay? Weekly date night. I see her every day. That's not a date. That's life. Right? I'm telling you, and I know, I'm, it's one of those things I talk to myself in the air sometimes. You need to go out with your spouse every single week. Okay? Out. Go somewhere. Say, well, we just can't afford it. You know, then go stroll on the beach. Okay? But buy a couple donuts. Okay? Look for coupons from Taco Bell. But go out. You need to get out together. That's important. Do nice things for each other. Well, I didn't yell at her today. Good. That's a good start. Do nice things. You see something, you think about, oh, let me just do that. Well, we're already married now. What's the point? You missed it. Okay, the point is you probably won't be married much longer. Well, gifts cost money. Lawyers cost more. They do, really. Be kind and loving as to each other. Dress nice and do your best to smell good. If you smell like a yak, come on. You know, the grandkids come over. They had a rough day and they're playing in the backyard. And Grandpa, I want to give you a hug. I'm like, you smell like a yak. No, go take a bath, right? Someone baptized that kid. But, you know, you shouldn't smell like that. And look nice. No, I'm not saying you need to be in a three-piece suit when you're in bed, all right? That's dumb. But you know what I'm talking about. And get away with each other. Have times when you get away. Number two, we let relatives and family get in the way. Not that we do it on purpose. Sometimes, depending on your relatives, sometimes relatives can be interfering. You know, Aunt Lucy just tells you everything she thinks. She comes in mouth first. Okay? Kindly tell Aunt Lucy, stop. Don't let anybody pick at your... There's two areas. Look at letter A. With your children. Now look, I love children just as much as the next guy. That's why we had a bunch of them. And I love the grandkids. Okay? But those little boogers are never going to be above my wife. The plan is for them to be out someday. And eviction notices are coming. Just kidding. But look, my wife and I will be together forever. Now, for some of you, think about that. I have to be with my wife forever? No, in heaven they said there is no marriage, so you're good. Okay. But look, I know you both love the children, but you cannot put the... And wives, this is primarily a temptation for you. You put the children ahead of the husband. That's wrong. That's wrong. Okay? Now, again, you both love the children. I'm not saying you lock them in a closet for a week. You understand what I'm saying. But your relationship is most important. By the way, and I know some of you may do this, and I'm not throwing stones. Don't let them sleep with you. Now, I know sometimes you got the little whatever in the crib or whatever else. Okay, God bless you. But, you know, when they're 13, they should be in their own room. They shouldn't be in your room. Okay? So just... Don't do that. And then with our in-laws. So I don't have in-laws. I have outlaws. I hear you. When you married, you started a new family. Now, you need to love your spouse's family. They're part of your family now. But they're not your main family. You say, man, it's just our marriage struggles so much because our in-laws, you know, you're testifying, I don't talk about my in-laws, they're not like this, but, you know, so I just struggle because my in-laws are just, they're just, get involved with what's going on in our family. They only do if you let them. You don't let them. Never let them criticize your spouse. Never. You can do that for all of them, all right? Don't let them criticize your spouse. And don't you criticize your spouse to them. That's not smart. You don't have to, but if you ever had to choose between your family and your spouse, take your spouse. You can work on your family, but again, most of them are well-meaning. They just don't know where the red light is, right? It's like, okay, hold on, red light. You went too far. Don't do that, okay? And so there we go with that. Number three. We let the handling of our money cause issues. Proverbs 21:20, there's treasure to be desired and oil in the dwelling of the wise. But a foolish man spendeth it up. In other words, listen, you're not always running on fumes because you don't know how to use a budget. Now, there are times in our life when we ran on fumes and we had a budget. That's just where we were at, okay? I get it. And God will give you grace during that time. But if you're running on fumes because you're not fiscally responsible, that's a different story. And by the way, it's not my money, his money, it's your money. Your money is together. And so, I want to hide over here so I can do what I want with my money. That's not your money. You're together. And sometimes spouses will sneak behind the other's back and do something and not let them know about it. Listen, that's causing drama. Okay? Talk about it up front. By the way, if you're up front and you work together on that thing, when you do discuss those things, it'll be a lot better. Okay, but let's be very careful about that. Finances can kill you. And this isn't a financial class. You say, what does finances have to do with love? Oh, a lot. Okay? I mean, oh, my wife's hot. Listen, you're going to be hot when you see what she spent. And not the same way you think she's hot. Okay? That just doesn't work. And so work together on it. Make sure, and ladies, I know how ladies are. It's on sale. I know. You're sinking the boat one little bullet hole at a time. Say, so I saved $30. You could have saved all of it by not buying it. All right? Now, men, we don't care if it's on sale. You know what we do? We get the big ticket item, and we just take a torpedo, and we blow the ship up at one time. Well, I needed that Maserati. Oh, okay. All right. I had to have that boat. You want a boat, buy a little one and take a bath, all right? Play with it. It's like, we just do that kind of stuff, and we got to be careful. Careful. By the way, if you're honest with your money and you struggle together, you're okay with it. You can, you know, you can see God work, and you're working together. Don't work against each other. And credit. Don't kill yourself. By the way, neither of you push each other into getting into credit card debt. Okay? Well, I just want it. You said when we got married, you'd take care of me, and I have to have that. You don't have the money for it. But you said, let's put on credit. Don't push. Because then you get it, you can't afford it, now you got the bills, and now everything's tighter, and now there's going to be resentment. You know, look, if we have the money and my wife wants it, and I hope she's not listening, if we have the money and my wife wants it, I'll get it for her. But I bought her her phone, always, she breaks her phone at the drop of a bucket, and I don't know what she does. They don't make a phone that has enough memory for her. They don't. It's like, hey, look, my phone's out of memory again. It's like, you know, I can't help you anymore. She had so much on her phone, we tried to offload on her computer. Our computer said, hard drive full. I'm not kidding. It's like, we're done. Now, we had the money, and I wanted to get it for her, so we got her the newest model that had, like, double the memory she has. So it's good for another 2 weeks. Okay? If she wants it, and she needs it, and we have the money, I'll give it to her. But if we don't, we're not going to get it. This is all there is to it. And maybe I'm wrong there, but pray for me. Number four. We let the weariness of our daily return, of our daily routine, hurt our marriage. Okay? Now, life is tiring. Okay? People are busy. I get that. But a lot of times we're tired because we're not wise with our time, I guess, and we're not taking care of ourselves. And by the way, you know who that affects because you're one. That affects your spouse. And you're running around with the kids, and you should help and all that stuff, but sometimes you're doing things you shouldn't be doing. Well, I'm just too tired, but yet you spent an hour and a half on the internet. You spent an hour on Facebook or Twitter or whatever it is, Instagram. You know, well, I had to be on Instagram. I had to see Nason. I mean, he's all over Instagram, okay? I mean, I feel like he's my kid. I know everything about that little boy because I follow him on Instagram. He's right there. But you know, listen, do the best you can. Make sure you look, sometimes you need to go to bed early, okay? I have a pretty much set bedtime I go to bed, but there's sometimes I'm a little tired or it's like, I'm going to bed earlier tonight. And sometimes you just need to do that. Sometimes you're like, man, I'm tired. By the way, you're tired, you're cranky. And like when you're hungry, you're cranky, you're tired. You're just like sometimes I say, I need to check out early tonight and be ready to go tomorrow morning. And but don't always use tiredness as an excuse not to have a great relationship. And by the way, and I'm not saying you can't eat out and all that, but, you know, try to be healthy. What if you got to take vitamins, exercise, whatever. Say, I'm too tired to exercise. You know, when you exercise, you actually get more energy. Did you know that? Yeah, that's what people have told me. Actually, I do. I exercise. When you exercise, you actually do have more energy. And maybe it's just watching people exercise, you get more energy. That's better. Buy the video, sit down with popcorn, and watch the exercise video. That'd be great. Number five, and I'll hurry. We'll go a couple minutes later, maybe 5 minutes. There's no school tomorrow. Number five, we let others take time away from our responsibilities. And when I say responsibilities, I'm talking about marriage responsibilities. I think it's okay to have friends, and you ought to have friends, but listen, you can't have friends like when you were teenagers. Amen. You're not a teenager anymore. Okay? Say, but I need companionship. That's your wife. And if you need more, you have children. And when they have when your children get married, and have, then you even have more people that you can have companionship with. And I'm not saying don't be with your friends. But some people, that's all they do is hang around their friends. You see these guys that I'm driving down after I exercise by the park, and they're all out here. You could tell they just came from work, and they're going to go out there and play. They're going to play sports for 2 hours. It's like by the time they get home, like, where's their family? Now, if they're single, that's okay. But you're not single. And by the way, it's dangerous to constantly be hanging around if you're married with single people. They have a singles mindset. And I've known couples that have that the wife or the husband, but a lot of times the wife has taken off because she started hanging around with her single friends. And because, well, you know, you married me too early. I'm stuck with these children. I want freedom. Where'd they get that nonsense from? And I'll throw this out, and it won't be popular, but live with it. And you ought to be careful about being with this, even if you are with married people, the same people all the time. You're double dating. It's what you're doing. I got quiet. Okay, I better move on. You're double dating.
Yeah. Amen.
You're double dating. I listened to a show many years ago on some Christian program, and they were talking about how affairs, and they were talking to these people and interviewing these couples. A lot of it was couples that were friends that were constantly together, going out to eat all the time, being with each other all the time, and it ended up that one took off with the other one. Okay, so and I'm not saying you can't go out with your friends. Don't get me wrong. You know what I'm saying? Be very careful. Have a multitude of friends. Help people in ministry. I get it. But sometimes we want to do fun and be hanging out with people, and you got married now. If you wanted to hang out with people, you shouldn't have got married. Number six. We let work and career come between us. All for working, all for having a job, but not at the expense of your family. Okay? You got to work. I get it. And some, you know, the guy that always volunteers for overtime, you know, even though he's married and he's got a family, you're going to work 80, 90 hours a week. Listen, that doesn't give you much time for any of your for your family. And that's your God-given responsibility. Okay? I wouldn't let it happen. No way. And I mentioned it. I've heard people before when I was in Bible college. You get these guys coming to chapel and preaching. They're talking. They're almost bragging about how little time they spend with their family because of how busy they are. And as a single man sitting there listening to chapel, and maybe it was a bad spirit, I'm thinking to myself, I'll never do that to my family ever. Good. Sorry. Number seven. We let a lack of spirituality cause trouble. Okay? And look, staying, and I know I say it, and it's just, oh, that's one of those things, it's preacher talk, and I know it goes in one ear and out the other, just like when they shot the deer. But the closer you are to God, the better off will be your marriage.
Amen.
Yeah. Okay. Yes, you know, you say, well, I struggle sometimes, and we fight a little bit, but I'm walking with God. Can you imagine what it was like if you didn't? You'd probably be divorced. Well, being close to God. When you're close to God, you know, it's going to help you in your marriage. It's going to help you in your family. Don't give up on that. Let's be very careful about that. I have had couples, we've talked to them, and that one time things were good, and it starts to get a little cattywampus, and I've asked them, and they admit to it. Like, was your relationship better when you were doing better spiritually? And they'll always say yes, and I'm like, then why don't you just get back to doing better spiritually? That's too easy. I want you to shut her up. Well, the reason I can't shut her up, or you for that matter, because you're not as close to God as you used to be, so it's harder. Yep. So now the spirit's not as much in control, the flesh is. And when there is a source for irritation, you don't take it as well because you're not as spiritual. If you're not as spiritual, you're having a rough day and someone gets up and you're getting right back at them. I've been there, I've done that. Okay? But man, son, you're closer to God. You can put up with a little bit. Patience, love, kindness, all that stuff we don't want to do.
Yes, sir.
Gentleness, meekness, all the stuff that girls do. Just kidding. That's all the stuff we're supposed to be. When we're closer to God, we can do that.
Yes.
And so listen, and by the way, you say, well, and I know there's couples that come sometimes and maybe they come in and the one spouse doesn't come to church and isn't really interested and so forth. You still be the best Christian you can. Because in that essence, you're kind of missionary is a strong term, but you're trying to be a witness to your spouse. And God will give you grace to get through that, to go forward. All right, number eight, just let me give you some last-minute follow-up advice, okay? Thank you. I have your permission. A, try to treat each other like you did when you were courting. Not when you were on your way to court. No, that's not what I said. When you're courting, okay? Sometimes you have to realize that. It's like, I know, you know her, you know everything about her, you know everything about him, been down the road and back, been around the block 100,000 times. But sometimes maybe you ought to stop and think, hey, you know, there's still a wonderful person here. And I'm letting me negate that. It's like Brother Suter said. He didn't say it here. He preached over at Monterey Park. And he said he went to bed one night, and he was kind of irritated with his wife, and she was laying there, and she turned the other way. And he was honest. He said, Lord, I'm irritated with her. And he said, it was almost like God whispered in his ear. He goes, that's no problem, Tom. If you want, I can have her stop breathing right now. And he's like, no, I don't want that. Kind of puts it in perspective, doesn't it? Okay? It's not that big a deal. B, make sure you have time alone together. And it doesn't, you say, oh, you know, hey, we were just sitting around the house one day, and in our house, it never happens. Maybe 5 times a year where we'll sit around the house, and it's like, hey, Alma, we're the only ones here. Seriously, we're the only ones here. How'd that happen? Okay, no. If you're going to be alone together, you've got to make time. Look, it just happened. Nothing good ever just happens. You got to make it happen. Letter C, I already mentioned it. Write it down. Say, I heard it 100 times. I'll buy you a shirt. Have a weekly date night. Okay, it doesn't have to be. Last night, we went, we exercised, and then was like, we went to Wahoo's. You say, you like fish? No, that's not the only thing they sell there, okay? That's good. But it was like, we didn't have as much time, but we still went out for a little while. We tried to do that. Letter D, get away together without the children. Vacation is children time. Letter E, learn more about marriage. Always be growing. Don't just settle. You ought to be growing in anything. Once you stop growing, you start dying. Okay? Have you ever read a book about marriage? Well, I bought one for my spouse, but they didn't read it. Okay, that's fine. I can see why. Did you ever listen to something about marriage? And then letter F, so I knew this was coming. Go to the couples retreat. And I understand not everybody can go. I know sometimes you can't get days off work and this and that or the other. But I'll tell you what, if you could, you need to go. Look, one thing you should do in your life is things that you do all the time every year. Okay? There's things in our family we do. So traditions. There's like traditions we do. We'll do some things right before we go on vacation. The whole family does it together. We do things. We go to vacation. We'll do this together. You know, we put our Christmas tree up the same day every year. We go get it and all that nonsense. And so we have traditions we do. One of the things for couples, if your work allows it, and you absolutely can, is go to the couples retreat. You say, you need to get away together without those wonderful little children of yours. Okay, have some adult time. Get away. Get a little teaching and so forth, but put it in your schedule. All right, let's pray.